Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken care
forever,
of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Cincinnati 3 of 9 on third down. They have 3rd and 10 here. Joe Burrow at his own 34-yard line. Burrow takes the shotgun snap, pressured up the middle, and they're going to grab him and pull him down. As Mike Dannon and Tershawn Moore, now the ball's out. They say this is live. It's picked up by Shamari Connor. He goes to the 10-5. Touchdown, Kansas City.
All the small things seem to add up at times in football games, and that was a more massive turnover than I think Cincinnati fans that are crying this morning over a loss and a pass interference call. I think that little fumble was a little bit more of a momentum swing than they think.
Yeah, you don't fumble that football there and have a scoop and score, you probably end up winning that game. It's like blaming the referees is when you have nothing left in the tank. Mm-hmm. And that's where Bengal fans are. Some of the worst fans I've ever been around yesterday. I'm glad we beat their ass. I'm glad they're gone. But when you're reaching into your bag of tricks, mm-hmm, and you're coming up with a pass interference penalty and the Chiefs are getting the benefit of the doubt from the referees, you're just really a sore loser. That's when you get to that point of, we've got nothing else. We've literally tried everything in this game, right? Eliminated Travis Kelce. Patrick Mahomes threw 2 interceptions, right? Didn't have the best game from an offensive standpoint. We shut them down, and we still found a way to lose this football game, and we want to sit here and, well, I guess we'll just blame the refs because we've got nothing left to blame, when that was as clear a day, a pass interference penalty, I think I've ever seen in the NFL, and even Gene Steratore said so.
Just early contact, guys, just playing through the back, early contact, and he doesn't get his feet set enough to get vertical before he gets through the receiver's back. You can see him attempting to, but that's early contact, and it is a catchable ball.
So there it is. Really? Hey, that's in a former official going, yep, they got it right. That is a pass interference penalty. So when you start blaming these referees, man, that means you got nothing left.
I wonder if Drew Nixon's going to come in with blonde hair today.
I hope so.
He would have had a new... known somebody, or he had to have the kit ready to go because game got over about 6:30 last night.
About 6:30 last night. Yeah, he probably didn't get it done last night, but he better have it done today at some point.
We'll get into the script here in a little bit. Because you kind of nailed it with one take. I was completely wrong with the script.
That's even better, though. Yeah. You're like, the self-deprecation is the best.
Couldn't have been.
Well, you'll listen to it. You're a little more right than you think. You'll listen. You'll listen back.
All right.
Maybe I don't have to be so self-deprecating, but either way.
It's better that way, though, right? It's fun to make fun of yourself.
Yeah, it's pretty
fun. I thought of this because every Monday I personally have to meet with the boss. I have to do that today. And I just bring up random questions all the time. So I brought it up again on Twitter yesterday, and I asked you guys as well, what were you doing at 12 o'clock yesterday if you have the luxuriousness of having two TVs? Did you have the Royals on and Red Zone below it, or was TV one Red Zone and Royals on, or did you even have the Royals on yesterday? Because they are doing quite well. They went 2 out of 3 against Pittsburgh this weekend. We'll have Vern on in about 25 minutes. But interesting enough, I had Red Zone on the TV and I had Royals on my phone.
You did.
I did. Yeah. I'm 100%. I'm always honest. I preach honesty. I had the Royals on my phone and I had Red Zone on my TV.
Yeah. Well, I was at the game, so I didn't have that option. But quite honestly, the Royals weren't on my mind this weekend. Really? And it was all football for me this weekend. And a little bit on Friday night, we were out to dinner Friday night. Shout out Talk of the Town. And they had the game on and people were cheering and we're excited about that. But I think everybody's just ready for the playoffs to get here, right? Like, right, we're done with the regular season. This is a side regular season is too long in every sport but the NFL. I think people are just ready for the playoffs. Like, we know we're in. Let's go. Let's get to the postseason. Playing the Pirates this weekend. Not exactly a marquee series. No Paul Skeens. But this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, these three games coming up are pretty damn big games, you know, against the Tigers. You're on the road. So you want to take care of business, finish off Detroit and whatnot. But I think baseball guys during the football season just gets blatantly lost on the weekends. It really does. I mean, this it shows you how much football dominates our landscape and how many people love the NFL or love college football that they're willing to forego everything, even a playoff baseball team to Jones off of football.
Text line for the 913. I'm going to be completely honest. I forgot the Royals are playing. I'm a big baseball fan, but Chiefs in all capital letters.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I'm not like
10 years ago. This was not the case though. We were all in. I remember watching Royals games in the press box during Chiefs games in 14 and 15.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, look, I'm not mad if you didn't watch the Royals, but I looked at this series like you should take 2 out of 3 versus Pittsburgh because Friday night I watched the game. It was just a murder fest of a baseball game.
That was a fun one, man.
Saturday afternoon, they played early. We had it on the TV, and then we had Mizzou on the other TV against Boston College. And then Sunday it was like, sorry, dedicated towards Red Zone.
Yeah, it's NFL time. And that's okay because I was talking to somebody last night actually about this, about like where we are as a landscape, and this kind of conversation came up. And my friend said to me, he goes, I just think we've just grown up and matured as a sports town. And while John Sherman wants to see a wild card team, I think fans now in Kansas City, for better or for worse, we just expect more than a wild card team. Like, I know the reality and the norm is that when you make the playoffs, you don't make the Super Bowl and World Series every year. But for whatever reason, the two teams that we have in Kansas City in that parking lot, when they make it to the postseason, it seems like they either go to the Super Bowl or go to the World Series every time. And so I think that's kind of become the expectation. 10 years ago, we hadn't experienced anything, right? We had no playoff experience in our lifetime for our generation. And so the Royals making it in 14 was very new, very exciting. It was the first time. We all loved that up. Now I think we look at it and go, all right, they're in the playoffs. Call me when October starts, and I'll be there, and I'll be ready to go. But I just the regular season, I'm over with, and then Patrick Mahomes is throwing the football around to Rashi Rice and guys like that. You know, people are excited.
Royals at home against Detroit for the next three. Okay. And then Minnesota and Cleveland also get to play each other this week. But we can get to the script to see if we are right or wrong. Is that where we want to go next? Or we can do that on the other side. No big – Max says we can do it now. So we'll do it now. We'll get to Bob's take first. All right, this is Bob on Friday about the script.
Here's what's going to happen. The first Bengals drive will be very good and will end with a touchdown. Chiefs will play angry and they'll get Worthy involved early and they'll get him involved often. You can kind of see that taking shape right now. Cam Taylor-Britt talking smack that Worthy only runs fast straight ahead. He doesn't do much else. You can start to sense what's going to be on display on Sunday afternoon. Xavier Worthy early and often. Cincinnati will be within a score at halftime, but the Chiefs, as they always do, will receive the kickoff, and their first drive at the end of halftime will end in a touchdown. Chris Jones will get a late, and that will open a 2-possession lead for the Chiefs at that point in time. Chris Jones will get a late game sack. Trent McDuffie gets his first interception of the season because he will be basically shutting down Ja'Marr Chase all game long. Frustration will set in. A ball will be underthrown with the limp wrist of Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase, and Trent McDuffie will pick it off and seal the game. The Chiefs will go on to win this thing 31-17.
So, a tad off.
Yeah.
And then let's let the people know how wrong I was, Mac. I think the Chiefs sacked Joe Burrow 5 times. I said from the beginning I said from the beginning of this week, and I'll explain to every nugget. I said from the beginning of this week, my two players that I'm watching are Karlaftis and Chris Jones. Another guy that's going to be great this week is Isaiah Pacheco. I think he runs for 90-plus.
Okay. He did. Got it.
I don't think Joe Burrow finishes this game.
Oh, I like that
I
thought.
I think 5 sacks.
They bench him early, huh?
No, I think 5 sacks and a little bit of pressure on him and that wrist not being fully healthy. And Joe Burrow in a big game against Kansas City Chiefs used to be big. I don't think he finishes this game. I think Chase gets a big penalty late in the game, whether it's a taunting penalty, whether it is a flagrant foul, like they call in basketball, where it's, you know, a personal foul against Ja'Marr Chase, whether it's shoving, whether it's, you know, some sort of frustration of a penalty that's going to happen. And I do think there's going to be a play. We haven't seen it yet. We've only seen 1 week of it where Xavier Worthy breaks out the top of the defense, catches one, whether it's against Britt or not. And I think the Chiefs will win 31-10.
Hey, man, yeah, you got Xavier Worthy wrong. You got Ja'Marr right, though. Nailed that. Got Pacheco right. Yep. Hey, look at you.
We'll get into Isaiah Pacheco a little bit later, but we'll get into Vern on the other side at 8:30 because you have a playoff team in Kansas City. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, our great executive producer. This is 96.5 The Fan. It's your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Hi. Welcome back. 96.5 The Fan. This is Fesco and Dusty with Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, and our executive producer, Mac Mahoney.
We're on the cameras today, I think. Hello. Are we there? Can you see us?
Break the fourth wall. Somebody brings up a funny text on the text line. Why does the national broadcasters always mispronounce Karlaftis? They kept calling him, what was it like?
Karlaftis?
I think that's what like Tony and Jim were saying. It was like Karlaftis.
Why does Andy call him Pacheco?
Or they were calling him like Karlaftis or something like that. I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Why do so many people call him Salvador Perez?
Yeah, I've never understood that one. Perez and parody. I do want to get into this before we get to Vern here in about 10 minutes. Because, yes, there's a win today. The Chiefs are 2-0, but there is a few things of concern.
Mm-hmm. Number one being the Isaiah Pacheco injury.
Not good. There were reports yesterday that he left the stadium in a boot and he left on crutches. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the doctors on Twitter come out and tell you where he was hurt, what it was, and what I saw from a couple of sources. I don't know how credible they can be, but from what I saw is that they said this injury could or could not need surgery, and it also could or could not be lengthy. Could be anywhere from 2 to 7 weeks is what I saw.
Yeah, we'll know more this morning. I'm sure probably about now we're getting that MRI. Like, I don't think they were in there at 6 o'clock getting that MRI looked at. But, you know, Rashee Rice was injured yesterday. There was no concern from the people I talked to really about Rashee Rice yesterday, but there seemingly was a little bit of concern about Pacheco. He's a good running back, but Andy Reid has done a great job over the years of finding running backs. Remember, Isaiah Pacheco is a 7th-round running back, right? Mm-hmm. They've done a great job with a 7th-round running back. They also won a Super Bowl with Spencer Ware and Charcandrick West running the football. Like, the Chiefs have always just kind of just, since Jamaal Charles, have they really had like a quote-unquote great, unbelievable running back? Not really. They figured it out. And maybe you go out and you sign Jerick McKinnon today, right? Because he's still available. So maybe you go out and you get a guy like Jerick McKinnon to come in here for half a season or whatever you may need until you get Isaiah Pacheco back, if he's going to be out that long. But once we get the information of where he is, I'm not going to speculate. I'm not a Twitter doc or anything like that. I'm just kind of give you the information that I got. Maybe Isaiah Pacheco is out for a few weeks and you go get a guy like Jerick McKinnon, which wouldn't be the worst case in the world because he's familiar with the system and he's a pretty good football player, right? But this is, again, guys, you know, why you don't pay running backs. Look, we're 2 weeks into the NFL season. Christian McCaffrey hasn't sniffed the field and Isaiah Pacheco may be out for a little bit of a time. It's such a volatile position, but Andy and the Chiefs have done just an amazing job of winning with rando running backs. And again, we love Pacheco, but he was a 7th-round running back.
Right. He's so good for this offense because he's your closer. He's the guy that you put in the fourth quarter that when you need to stop the clock and not stop the clock, but keep the clock going and stop the opposing team from getting on the field. He's just that guy that can absolutely just close the game out. And some people will say, like, from the 9-1-3, we ran the ball way too much yesterday. I don't think they ran it enough.
Same. Agreed.
Like, they came out on the first drive and absolutely murdered their defensive line with running the ball. And there was no issue with what's another concern with the left tackle. Then, the very next drive, they came out and threw it, and Patrick Mahomes threw that errant interception.
Right.
It was like, why did they not run the ball anymore? Like, what happened to the first drive?
I mean, that's 11 years now, Vandy. We know this is the way it's going to be. But again, they're doing things to see what's going to work for the postseason, too.
Yeah, and I can only imagine, I can't believe that we actually got a text that said they ran the ball too much. Like, I wish Kling was in this seat right now. Like, just to see that text, which I'm sure he's listening, but to see somebody actually say we ran it too much is music to my ears, which is to the next concern. Suamataia did not have the greatest game.
He did not. No, they benched him. Now, I mean, when you get benched in a game, you had a rough outing.
He had a couple of bad holding calls, which, look, I'd rather...
Trey Hendrickson is pretty good, though, right?
He's also a really good defensive end. Yeah, like, he's one of the best defensive ends in football. And I'm not trying to, like, you know, cover up what was a poo-poo start at left tackle.
But you're also talking about guy in start two in his career versus all-pro Trey Hendrickson, right?
And a couple of those defensive holdings were nice, because if he doesn't do that, that guy's going to absolutely smother Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, God, yes.
Take the penalty, protect the quarterback in that situation.
Yeah.
And then Wanya Morris came in, and what we thought was, even Derek Johnson, who joined us earlier, was like, I saw that illegal hand in the face. I was like, Oh, no. You don't have very many plays for 4th and 16, except if you throw it deep and let them make the mistake, that's what can happen.
And they did. And who would have thought Wanya Morris would have more touchdowns than Travis Kelce already in the season, right? Did you have that on your bingo card? Wow. I mean, that was great. Yeah, I love the fat guy touchdown yesterday. That was so cool to see Wanya Morris score that touchdown. So that was a lot of fun. But, I mean, do they have an issue at left tackle? Maybe. I mean, we'll have to see how it moves forward. I like what Andy said after the game. He goes, look, we'll get together with this. Like, if you trust Andy with anything, it's offensive line, it's running backs, right? They seemingly have a way of figuring this thing out. But sometimes you do just have to tip your cap to the competition and go, this guy was a third round draft pick out of BYU playing in his second NFL game, and he's going up against Trey Hendrickson. That could have been his welcome to the NFL moment that every player, I think, ultimately has, except for Patrick Mahomes. When you get into the NFL, you have that, holy crap, I just got my ass beat.
I've got a little bit of an NBA comparison that I just thought of with this Kingsley kind of fiasco yesterday. Not saying Kingsley's Victor Wembanyama, but Victor Wembanyama allowed 100 points or 90 points to Joel Embiid this year, one-on-one. And Greg Popovich, one of the best coaches of all time, let him just get destroyed for the whole game, one-on-one. Yeah, yeah. Didn't give him double-team help, didn't try and switch, didn't go into his zone. Said, Victor, you're going to learn today what being in the NBA is like. And what did Victor Wembanyama do? He was second in defensive player of the year. He's going to win the next 4 awards. He's the best defender we've seen in the last decade. He learned a lot that day. He grew. I think that was another great coach yesterday, Andy Reid, saying, you know what, Kingsley? This is going to be tough. You're going to learn a lot today. You're going to get screwed. It's going to be a bad day. But we're going to get up the next day. We're going to learn. We're going to watch this film, and we're going to rep, and we're going to work on it.
I love that comparison.
I think that's my comparison there.
No, I love it. Absolutely brilliant. You're welcome. absolutely brilliant comparison, because I'll take it one step further. Not as good, but there was a time when Vin Mazzaro was giving up run after run after run. Remember that? Yeah. And Ned just left him out there. It's like, sorry, man, you got to figure it out. We ain't bailing your ass out of this one. So Vin Mazzaro gave up like 10, and they just left him out there, never to be heard from again. But I think you're right. There is that... Hey, man, you're here now, and this is the way it's going to be. Where are you going to learn more? Getting your ass beat by Trey Hendrickson, or standing on the sidelines watching somebody else try to block him? You know, you threw him right into the teeth. Mm-hmm. You threw him right into the fire. And you know what? Let's see if he's better because of it. And I would promise you, because it's Andy Reid and Andy Heck and this coaching staff, I bet you this kid's better because of it. And that's how you learn. You learn by making mistakes. You don't learn from having all kinds of successes and things coming easy. You learn by falling on your face. And boy, did he fall yesterday.
It's also a Carson Steele moment to learn who Andy Reid is. You fumble the ball, and guess who gets the ball right back?
Carson Steele every single time.
4th and 1, 3rd and 1, even after a fumble.
Yep.
Go out there, kid, make up for it.
Well, and that's important, because you show that you still believe in those guys. Like, as much as I love Tommy Callahan for yelling about his quarterback making the same mistake twice, He made the same mistake twice, okay? He did it twice. You give somebody an opportunity after they make a mistake once. You don't write somebody off. And Andy Reid is brilliant at that. We've seen it with Kareem Hunt and guys over the years. They make a mistake, they go right back to him, and that shows that you have that faith and confidence in them. And I think that is so important in the NFL to show your guys that you have faith and confidence in them, because it would be very easy for Carson Steele and Kingsley Suamataia this morning to wake up and go, I suck. But Andy Reid's not going to allow him to do that. That's why he's such an impressive leader.
Any concern in the secondary?
Joshua Williams did not look great. It wasn't his best day. He's seen better tackling days.
Yeah, my buddy said there's a good topic for the show, big fan. And he said, do you think with the loss of L'Jarius Sneed, and I was like, wait a minute. He goes, let me finish. I said, no, go ahead. He said, with the loss of L'Jarius Sneed and Trent McDuffie now being cornerback number one, you've taken away that sort of, you know, blitzing corner that was Trent McDuffie getting the sacks on quarterbacks late.
What time of the game was this question asked?
This was about midway through the third quarter.
Okay.
And I was like, that's a good point. And he goes, and then of course, that's when, like, you know, I was texting you guys, like, biggest concern was defensive line and no
sack
pressure.
Strip.
And then
like literally
boom,
the
boom,
next
like
play.
Right after I was like, I just took my phone. I was like, screw it. They're going to make fun of me. And, but it is true because like someone's look, you're not going to replace L'Jarius Sneed. You're also not going to replace Trent McDuffie and his style of play. But we did see the Chimari Connors play come through, and then we talked to DJ earlier, and he's like, there weren't a lot of blitzing because Joe Burrow can hurt you in that regard. We'll see what they do next week against Kirk Cousins, who can't handle the blitz, and we might see a completely different thing. But it is interesting to see who will be Spags' little, you know, blitzing corner, and it looks like maybe it could be Chimari Connors.
I mean, Chimari Connor, he's going to be my brioche of the week when we get to that coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, but that guy was fantastic yesterday. Two of the biggest plays so far this year in the NFL on defense, that blitz, and then they fumble, scoop, and score. I mean, that was tremendous yesterday. I thought he had a really, really nice day yesterday. And look, guy, you're not going to have an immediate replacement for L'Jarius Sneed. Like, we expect things to be perfect all the time, and I could, you know, sense that from, you know, some friends and whatnot during the game. And, you know, everybody expects perfection with this team. They've given us that opportunity to expect perfection every time, and when it's not perfect, everybody's like, oh my God, what's going on? It's learning, it's figuring things out, and I bet you by the time we reach Thanksgiving, Dusty, maybe even before, we kind of have these roles defined and we know who's replacing L'Jarius Sneed.
A lot of reports coming out. Ian Rapoport just came out with it. Text line letting us know. Chiefs star running back Isaiah Pacheco, who left the stadium in a walking boot and crutches, fractured his fibula based on initial test sources say. More information coming to determine the severity of the associated damage, but Pacheco is set to miss real time.
Yeah, that sucks.
Ugh. Hate to see it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would go out and just find Jerick McKinnon and see what he's doing right now and see if he can come in and be a player and part of this team. I mean, that's kind of the next step that you take. But again, Andy's always figured it out with running backs, man. It's been a position that they've never really heavily invested in, which I don't blame them, but they always seemingly figure it out.
Someone who's not a foot guy is our Royals insider. He is Josh Verner, and he joins Fesco and Dusty now. Vern, how about that Saturday bet, my guy?
Yeah, you hit that. It's you're back now in the black. You're back in the fight for the 2024 double play championship, but you still have a lot of work to do. I hope you actually made money on that bet back on Saturday.
Only one unit, played a conservative. You know me.
Nothing wrong with that.
Speaking of conservative
radio,
that's right.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
And seen.
Two out of three against Pittsburgh. Did your job on the road, and then you get the big bad Detroit Tigers coming to your house tonight with Seth Lugo on the bump, and you can once again bury another team and continue your striving force towards October.
Yeah. Excited for this series as you have your horses to start it off with Lugo and Reagans before you face their horse in Skubal on Wednesday night. Yeah, you can knock or come pretty close to not only knocking Detroit out of the fight, but you can get very close to punching your ticket officially to October. Now, I wouldn't call them the big bad Detroit Tigers. To me, now, I'm not going to compare them to Royals teams of the past, but I do think that they are benefiting from some of that September house magic money that we've seen Adalberto Mondesi and the Royals thrive under said conditions in so many years previous. If Detroit finds themselves knotted up with the Twins for that final wild card spot, I think they'll tighten up a little bit. unless Tarek Skubal agrees to pitch every 3 days, I'm not a believer in the Detroit Tigers. As far as that twin series is concerned, yeah, you come away smiling. You take 2 of 3 behind a strong effort from Alec Marsh in the opener. Game 2 was gift-wrapped by that Pittsburgh defense, most notably their center fielder, O'Neill Cruz. And then yesterday's game, man, I'll throw that one in the trash. To me, yesterday's game is the anomaly. Now, how many times have you seen the other team's defense outperform the Royals' defense? Not that the Royals' defense played poorly. Pittsburgh made more plays on the base paths, defensively. Their starter allowed fewer runs than the Royals' starter. Now, I'm not going to knock Brady Singer. You dive into those 4 runs that he gave up. You're tipping your cap to Pittsburgh quite often on those 4 runs when you look at the 5 innings that he threw yesterday. So taking 2 of 3, a magic number of 8. Yeah, man. I mean, listen, once the Royals reached 8 wins in that riptide, I put my feet up because from here on out, they're playing with house money. There's just no way that I'm going to find myself frustrated or disappointed with anything this season. Okay, when they lose, sure, I'm disappointed for 4, 5, 6 hours, but I get over it quickly because this has been such a magical season.
All right, Vern, you know, we got 12 games to go. We've got a manager who's in his first, you know, rodeo doing this as the manager. Obviously, he's had a lot of success. What's going to be the role of Q and the coaching staff for these final 12 games?
Yeah, really, and again, dating back to when they, you know, met my expectation for the Riptide, once they answered every single question to me, this home stretch is all about health and confidence, and Matt Quatrero and this coaching staff are in complete control of that as far as how much they push their starters, how much they ride their horses like a Salvador Perez, a Michael Massey who's been playing cleanup of late in the lineup. But confidence really is what I'm more focused on. Health, obviously, Q has that thing pegged. Obviously, they're focused on bringing Hunter Harvey and Michael Lorenzen along slowly, trying to get them right for the postseason. But as far as confidence is concerned, I mean, there are, you know, so many numbers I could throw out there as to why you should feel confident about this team. You know, if they face the Baltimore Orioles in the first round, I just saw the statistic. The Orioles haven't won a series against a team with a winning record since July 4th. So that makes you feel good. But here's the thing. As we all learned in 2014, once the postseason starts and those numbers are erased, you have a chance to completely rewrite your season, completely rewrite your legacy. So yeah, I would love for the Royals to win these final 12 and as a collective carry that confidence into the postseason. But, you know, I can't promise you that finishing the season hot is necessarily going to carry into the postseason. What I do think carries into October is, you know, what we saw yesterday from Michael Garcia, what we saw yesterday from Michael Massey, Kyle Isbell over the weekend, the guys that have had up and down offensive seasons, if they can carry confidence into October, because as you guys know, man, it's a lonely place inside that batter's box on that mound come October. I know you have teammates behind you, but it's just you out there, and boy, it sure would benefit the Royals if those pitchers like a Daniel Lynch, Chris Bubich, Alec Marsh, Carlos Hernandez, who all had nice weekends, likely built up some confidence. Man, it sure would be nice if they had some positive reinforcement bouncing around that brain come October, come those big spots where we're looking at Chris Bubich in the eighth inning to go through Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson. You want those guys feeling good. So to me, that's a reflection on the coaching staff and picking the right times. Q's done an outstanding job all season. That's why, I mean, you guys know better than me, he's either number one or the number two front runner to win the American League MVP. It's about picking the right spots, picking the right matchups. God knows you have enough bench options now, and I think there are enough interesting options currently in the bullpen that are fighting for a spot in the postseason bullpen that you can really plug and play over these final 12 games. Because, again, there really isn't any, in my opinion, pressure on the organization to win the division, clinch a home field playoff game, whatever it might be. Man, just build confidence, and whether you start this postseason in Kansas City or Baltimore, if those guys are walking to the plate with their chest sticking out, you know, MJ Melendez has the ability to be the ALCS MVP. There's no reason to believe that a guy like Alec Marsh can't put up a big World Series again, but it starts now with them heading into the postseason, not afraid of anything, not second-guessing anything, but ready to attack.
You mentioned that JJ kind of threw down a challenge this week. What was he talking about with Cody and Gold?
Yeah, they always do a nice job talking to the Royals general manager. And as they were signing off on Tuesday, you know, the, hey, JJ, thanks for the time, man. We'll see you at the ballpark. All right. You know, JJ kind of cut him off and said, yeah. Hey, I want to see a raucous crowd at Kauffman Stadium. I want 25,000 for every game. I want 150,000 people to turn out for these final six games of the regular season. And, you know, I was glad to hear that because, you know, we all remember Ned Yost in, August of 2014, challenging the fans to come out and support us. And, you know, they got crushed by the local newspaper. And I remember listening to you, Bob, the next morning, crushing the columnists that crushed Ned. And, you know, you were with Ned saying, hey, go out and support this team. It's a good team. And it took a while. It took a while before the fans did. Ned did that in April. JJ's waited until the end because he understands that his team lost 106 games last year. It's understandable if people are slow to return to Kauffman Stadium. But the final six games, with everything, as I mentioned, man, everything still sits right in front of this team from skipping the wild card. I mean, the playoffs for the Royals could begin on the 5th of October. Game 1 of the ALDS could be at Kauffman Stadium. They're only two games back of Baltimore to clinch that home field wild card series that starts on the 1st. They're only four back of Cleveland of clinching the first round bye and having the ALDS begin at Kauffman Stadium. So I love that challenge of JJ just at the end of the season saying, you know, he didn't say this, but I'll read it between the lines. Guys, I've done everything you've asked. All I'm asking for is for you to partially fill the stadium for the final six games of the regular season as we try and make sure you have an opportunity to watch this team again in October. If you want home field advantage at Kauffman Stadium this October, go get home field advantage starting tonight against Detroit.
Yeah, I look at the comments and I'm like, yeah, this is a fun team to watch, right? People want to get on board. But I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday about where we are as a sports town now, Vern. And it's like the person said to me, they're like, we've grown up as a sports town. Like, it's not about just getting in the playoffs anymore. It's about advancing and winning and going to the Super Bowl or the World Series. We've been spoiled here in this town. How much do you think we've changed as fans in Kansas City? And our expectation has changed over these last 10 years.
Certainly, yeah. No longer is Kansas City the, oh, golly gee, you're paying attention to us? Right. Wow, thank you. No, it's, you know, where you been? Mahomes has been here for a minute. We've been telling you about Bobby Witt Jr. Salvi's been doing this for a decade. Yeah, there's a lot more confidence in the city. It's not, but with this team, with this Royals team, again, I've heard from so many fans that have just checked out over the last 6, 7, 8 years that haven't been following the team all that much, certainly haven't been listening to sports radio when they're talking about anything other than the Kansas City Chiefs. So I, yes, the sports city is no longer, having a difficult time comprehending the fact that they have good teams, that the expectation is championship. No, Mahomes, along with what Haas and the boys did in 14 and 15, but it was really completely changed with Mahomes to where, you know, Kansas City should be arrogant about its sports because you have the best football player, the best football coach, the best football tight end, the best baseball player, one of the best general managers in Major League Baseball. You know, you should be arrogant about it, but still, what's taking place at Kauffman Stadium and what could take place over the course of the next month, there are quite a few people that are experiencing it for the first time. So I still think that the love affair that a city has with its playoff baseball team, I still think that that will capture this city sometime soon.
All right, Vern, I've got in my hand an 88 score featuring Ed Romero.
Ed Romero, is that the left-hander from the Mets?
No, it's not. It looks like a right-hander from the Red Sox.
Oh, okay. Maybe I was looking at it in a mirror.
Yeah, you probably were. So, for one, all right, here's a good one for you. You may know this one. I doubt it. 89 tops, Mike Birkbeck.
Mike Birkbeck. I do not, but I'll guess that. That's the left-hander, but not with the Mets, with Montreal.
It is a right-hander with the Brewers.
Oh, God. All right, get rid of the mirror.
All right.
One more.
All right, one more. Here we go. We got an 80, let me see, 90 Fleer featuring Jim Gantner.
Oh, Jim Gantner, the second baseman of the Brewers.
There you go, baby. Yeah, one for three. One. You're
He's
a Hall of Famer, my friend.
I'm out of here.
Best for a reason. Vern at 5:30 tonight. Have a great show, man.
Thank you very much.
You got it. Josh Verner here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. During this golden age of KC sports, we deserve so much better than these two clowns for the morning. You'll get us for another hour and 20 minutes and four more days the rest of the week. I'm Dusty, that's Fesco, and Mac Morey here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
It's a three-peat, baby. You know how we coming this year? You got to take it from us, and you for damn sure ain't going to do it.
What y'all think of that walk-off win?
Amazing!
Yes!
For the big ghosts. We're looking for the Burrow fans. We can't find them.
That's how we do.
Come out to play.
They've scattered to their vehicles. They're flying back to Ohio. This is just what we do. All we do is win.
Spirit flies back to Ohio.
What do y'all think about Jamar Chase?
He ruined the game, bro. He cost the game. He cost the game that 15-yard penalty. He's good.
He doesn't like contact. He's weak. He's soft.
We don't like Cincy. It's a fact. We try and be respectful. They put our backs against the wall. We said, hold on. Let's drink a beer. Let's hang out. And we did that damn thing. And we did that damn thing two times over. Or should I say three? Or should I say four? We're going on four. We're looking for five. If there's a thing, I'm a frog, and that's what they call me because I do frogs.
96.5 The Fan, what's up? We are from Arrowhead. Who they? Who they? Who they?
They losers.
I like it. I'm with you, man. I did not find any respect for Bengal fans over this past weekend. Some of the worst that I've been around inside that stadium, man. It's about time you end the smack talk in Cincinnati. You haven't won much since you called it Burrowhead. 0-3 against the Chiefs since that day.
Was a great victory yesterday. Chiefs 2-0. Continue to move through the AFC. It is looking more and more likely that they will be pursuing yet another three-peat, more clear than maybe some would thought. One take that I had is the easiest Super Bowl they may ever win would be in the toughest situation they've ever been in, which is trying to win a three-peat.
Trying to win it, yeah. Why would it be the easiest Super Bowl? Because they've already taken care of Cincinnati and Baltimore, you mean?
This is the best start they've had in any... Like,
I know it is.
Two contenders that are both 0-2 that are no longer in your picture.
Yep.
Now you don't have to worry about Miami. Unfortunately, Tua and his injury, he's going to miss some time. They don't look like they're the real deal against good teams.
Right.
It looks like it's Buffalo and Houston.
Is that maybe it, right?
Is this the first run all the way back again? Right. I don't know.
Who knows, man? But we're off to a great start, and I know I'm sure there's some people waking up this morning trying to poo-poo a little bit of you know what went on yesterday and are not excited because it wasn't perfection. But you wake up in the NFL with a win, and you're sitting at 2-0, and you beat those two damn teams that we just beat here in Kansas City, winning by a toe and a foot. It doesn't matter how you do it, long as you get those wins. And when you win games like the Chiefs have won over the last 2 weeks, that's the sign of a great football team. Good to bad teams lose those games. They find ways to lose them. Great teams find ways to win them and overcome the adversity of the Patrick Mahomes interceptions, of the Carson Steele fumble, who we may now be seeing a lot of moving forward.
He says that because Ian Rapoport had this to say about your running back, Isaiah Pacheco. It ain't good.
Isaiah Pacheco, sources say, fractured his fibula in yesterday's Chiefs win over the Cincinnati Bengals. This was kind of the fear leaving the stadium. He was in a walking boot. He was in crutches. Anytime they're going to take a look at the bone, usually that's not good. This is why. Initial test showed a fractured fibula. Now, my understanding is he's going to have more tests today to determine if there is associated damage. In other words, if there is damage to the ligaments, what needs to happen next and how long he is going to be out. But it is a fracture, and generally those are 4-6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks. Don't be surprised if Isaiah Pacheco is placed on injured reserve. And for the Kansas City Chiefs, they do have some options at running back. Some we saw on the field yesterday. They do also have Jerick McKinnon, who's played for them the last couple of years, who is a free agent. There are certainly some options, but they are 2-0, and they have now lost Hollywood Brown for the foreseeable future and Isaiah Pacheco to a fractured fibula.
So there it is. I mean, big injury is Isaiah Pacheco, but if there's one position that the Chiefs have figured out over the years, it is running back. Again, we love Isaiah Pacheco, but he was a seventh-round running back, right? We won with Sharkhandrick West and Spencer Ware, and they were – basically cast-offs from other teams. They'll figure it out. I mean, I'm not that concerned from a can-they-figure-it-out standpoint. I'm concerned for the kid because, you know, this is the life of a running back, and now he's guaranteed not to get paid. But he also runs hard. He's like kind of the, you know, like a little bit of a heartbeat for this team. You know, he runs hard. He runs tough. He runs and gets you big yards when you need him. But now other guys have an opportunity. Carson Steele, let's go. Jerick McKinnon, as we've been talking about all morning, Dusty, maybe that's the guy you go out and sign. You bring him in. He knows the system. He can get things going. Maybe in a couple of weeks, once we're through the first 4 weeks of the season, maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire comes back to this team and he can be somebody that the Chiefs can count on that running back position. But, you know, there's also the possibility I told you in the break. What about a trade right now? I mean, mm-hmm. We don't just have to go out and sign somebody on the free agent market. There may be a running back out there that Brett Veach likes. Or, I mean, he's done a pretty masterful job of finding guys on practice squads for other teams and bringing them here to Kansas City. Harrison Butker was on the practice squad from the Carolina Panthers. Brett Veach found him, went there and signed him to the active roster. So those are going to be options as well. And I feel like if Brett Veach goes out and acquires you, you're probably a pretty good football player. Track record would say that.
Not only that, Matt Derrick of, I believe it's Chiefs Digest, it is, says the fracture is in his ankle. I'm told the Chiefs haven't put a timeline on Pacheco's return. Normally the return from a similar injury would be around 12 weeks.
But you heard Rappaport say 4 to 6 to 8 and so then 12. Does. So look, here's the thing. For your sanity, and I'm talking to the collective us, not just you, right? For your sanity, just don't count on him being part of this team and move on. And don't dwell on it, right? Like if we sit here and go, God, I wish we had Pacheco. I wish we had this. I wish we had that. You can't move yourself forward. And that's what this team does. Like that's the harsh reality, Dusty, of the NFL is like, all right, next man up. And the Chiefs have done a great job. I mean, they won a playoff game with Patrick Mahomes being hurt, right? I mean, like they have figured too. Yeah, exactly. They have a way to figure this thing out. Does it suck? Yeah, we don't like it. We'd rather have them healthy. But, man, I got all the confidence in the world in Brett Veach and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and company to go, all right, next man up, let's go.
No doubt about it. Samaje Perine, Carson Steele, your roles just got extremely elevated.
So. What happened to Perine? He played like one play yesterday. I mean, that was it.
It was forgotten
yesterday, right?
Against his former team.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, hey, if you were Russell Wilson, you'd have gotten a game ball for that yesterday.
Or if you were Mike Tomlin's teammate.
That's right.
Player.
Was that like just a dig by Mike Tomlin at Russell Wilson? I mean, like, what was that? I love Mike Tomlin to death, but you're giving a guy with eye black the game ball?
What's Luis Riis-Samet doing, by the way?
Isn't he with Jacksonville?
Yeah.
That's right. They can let him in.
But is he on the active roster in Jacksonville?
I think he's on the practice squad.
Yeah. So there may be a practice squad signing. Yeah. Like, just be kind of, you know, cautious, see what Brett Veach tries to do. But, you know, he's probably in there right now trying to figure out what running back we're going to bring in. That guy will be here later today.
Well, if you haven't done it already, go put Patrick Mahomes down for your MVP because he's had two rough starts so far this year. Maybe not rough. Yesterday was, but now you don't have a running game because your starting running back is out. Look for them to just throw the ball every single play. I'm just kidding. Something will get addressed. I guarantee you. My idea would be that Jerick McKinnon gets a call today from Andy Reid.
That sounds like the most logical.
That
one.
To me is where the call goes.
Yeah. Which means it's not going
to
happen.
And then after what, two more weeks, Clyde Edwards-Helaire can come off the if he's ready to go.
If he's ready to go
and mentally ready to do it. That's on him, of course. Bob Fesco, Dusty Liggins, Mac Morey. We dive into why Jamar Chase sucks on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home. For Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.